Hey there, my name is Cassie Torresias, and 8 years ago, I launched my own online graphic design studio and booked a one-way ticket to travel the world in pursuit of my own freedom-filled life. I now own a multi-million dollar online business, The Bucket List Bombshells, teaching other women how to do the same, alongside my best friend, co-founder, and podcast co-host, Shay Brown. Around here, we believe that your crazy dreams aren't crazy, and that it's time for you to start creating the life and career that you dream about too. Whether you want to travel and work remotely, or simply just want to be your own boss, it's possible to live out your passion and purpose without just scraping by. We know that this path isn't always easy to navigate though, so we're here to help you. From making a career change, starting and growing your own business, balancing life and business, and most importantly, pursuing your own freedom-filled life. Get ready for real, relatable stories and advice on your journey towards something more. We serve it up BFF style, so pour yourself that third cup of coffee and let's dive in. Welcome to the Freedom-Filled Life Podcast. Hey there, welcome back to the Freedom-Filled Life Podcast. I am so pumped for this episode because today we're sharing how we landed our very first clients when we initially started our own businesses years ago. This is without a doubt one of the biggest questions that Shay and I get asked, and that is, how do you land clients in your service-based online business? And the answer is actually easier than you might think. Now, in today's episode, we're also going to be giving you actionable tips and strategies for finding your very first client. I think it's going to be such an insightful episode, especially if you're just starting out freelancing or building your own online service-based business. If this is you and you're listening right now and you're super overwhelmed at the idea of finding and landing your very first client, or if you have any fears that are holding you back in this area, then I want you to know you're not alone and you're in just the right place. So let's get into it, Shay. How did you find your very first client?
Yes. I love this story actually. So I haven't actually talked about this story in a long time, I would say, or even really made it a part of our journey story or anything. Now that I think about it, this story of how I landed my first client is not something I usually talk about naturally. So I'm really excited to share with you guys today and really talk about this, you know, from a client finding perspective or landing a client perspective, especially in today's, you know, remote work age where a lot of companies are moving remotely. So just to like tee it up there a little bit. And so what I did was at the time, back in 2013, out of university, I was working for a tech company. They were based in Canada and I was their social media manager. So I was basically creating their social media strategies. I was crafting posts. I was scheduling those posts. And I was also doing a lot of the managing and interacting, like almost like what you would call a community igniter nowadays or a community manager nowadays. Back then, I feel like social media managers wore like so many hats. I feel like a lot of this actually is broken out even further into maybe even different roles or even more in depth. But back then, you're wearing a lot of hats as a social media manager. So I was just doing everything. So at the time I was working for them in person, of course, going into the office, 9-to-5 life, all of that. And at the time, if you have listened to our first episode, our origin story, make sure you go back there because I go into a little bit more detail as to like making the move to Mexico. So during that time was actually when I was working for this company, I decided that I wanted to start traveling, start working remotely, even though that wasn't really like the key driving factor, but I knew I needed to have money. But I wanted to move to Mexico and find and pursue a more freedom-filled life. And so at the time I was working for them in person, and I decided that I was going to pitch them to be my first client. I had sort of briefly done some research on having a client and being a contractor and again, working a little remotely. But back then there really was not the resources that you come across nowadays. So you can probably imagine how nervous I was being like early 20-somethings about to pitch this tech company to basically tell them I was going to move to Mexico. I'd already, just want to preface that like I had already made the decision and booked my ticket to move to Mexico. So I kind of gave myself no choice. You know, when you have to make one of those decisions and you sort of just have to make it and go for it. and kind of figure it out after the fact. That's what I did in this scenario, which is also really not my personality type. So I think back and I kind of laugh. I'm like, wow, I still can't believe I did that. But at the time, I had already decided I was going to move to Mexico. And so I decided that I was going to pitch this company, this team that I worked for, and ask them to basically be my client. And I would still do social media management work for them, but remotely. So again, I still laugh because at the time this was not a thing. But this is really where you got to like step outside your comfort zone. And when you're really feeling in a place where you want to find that freedom and that fulfillment in your life and you really don't have the roadmap for it yet, just putting one step in front of the other is so important, and to really take that leap and to sort of do it before you even feel ready. I really didn't feel ready, but I decided that I really wanted to move and live in another country and have traveling as an aspect and find that freedom and fulfillment and passion I was looking for out of my life. I couldn't do the 9-to-5 anymore, but I still wanted to work for this company because I wanted to maintain obviously some income coming in, but also I liked what I did. I did like my job as a social media manager. I wasn't trying to move to another country to find another job in that country, and remote work was kind of a thing I had read about online, and I was like, I want to try this. So if you're wondering, this whole conversation is about how to land a client, how to find clients. How did I go about pitching them? You're probably wondering. Basically, what I did was I really went in there and showed them my value. I showed them why they should keep me on as a social media manager and how I could actually do that remotely without affecting any of my work, any of my deliverables, any of the current communications that I had with them. So I really, you know, almost gave that assurance to them to say, hey, I can meet all of my deadlines. I can meet all of my deliverables. It's just going to look a little differently. And I'm looking for them to be, you know, adaptable and open-minded and a little bit flexible when it comes to the type of tools that I showed them I could be using and the type of structure I created that I would still be able to deliver all of my work on time and still be involved within the company communication channels. So those were the three things that I really wanted to show them and touch upon. And I could tell that these were really the things that impressed them, really showing them, and the things that helped them make this decision alongside me was really being able to show them kind of a plan of how I was going to manage all of this as if I didn't need to be in the office, that I would do the same thing that they wanted out of someone in this position. I would just do it from a different location. And so just to give you like a little insight, some tips and different things, like at the time, you know, there was things around like Skype and there was social media planners and scheduling tools. And I really showed them these things. I said, hey, let me do a presentation for you, show you how it would work. Look, you could log in here and you'd be able to view my work and you'd be able to approve things in here. We'll still have the same meeting times. You know, I'll adjust my schedule, even though I'll be in a different time zone, which at the time was only a 2-hour difference. But, you know, again, I showed that I was putting them first. You know, I didn't walk in there saying, I'm going to move to Mexico and I need you to change everything about my job and how I work so that it fits my needs. So I really focused on their needs. I really focused on how I'm still bringing value to them. I really focused that they were now becoming my client and I wanted to treat them as such. I wanted to treat them with that same level of respect and that flexibility that I wanted to receive from them. So instead of telling them what I wanted from them, I basically did it in a backwards way by showing them what the benefits and what I know they wanted. It all worked out in the end, and they did decide to be my first client. I am still so grateful to this company. I actually go visit them sometimes in Victoria. They're still there. It's a company called GoToMobi, and they were just a fantastic company that, you know, really took a chance on me, but not, I don't even want to say it was like on a whim or was like this kind of outlier factor, because again, I feel like I presented them with such an amazing solution and showed them the value, and I showed them that this is possible, that like working remotely isn't going to change basically the value, the work, the deliverables, the cost, and all of that that was already happening with me showing up in the office.
I love that, because I think that a lot of people listening could be in a similar position. You know, maybe they, you know, maybe you don't feel ready to start your own business or to fully become a freelancer, or like you did, you enjoyed the company you were working for, you enjoyed the job that you were doing. And so instead, to have more flexibility, which is a huge topic of conversation right now in 2021, you were able to not overlook your current job as a way to land your first client. And I think that's really amazing. You know, pitching your company to let you work remotely. And there are really awesome companies like Remote Year. If you're not familiar, they have incredible companies where you can work remotely and travel with them all around the world with groups of other remote workers over the course of a few months or a year. And this company has been around pretty much since we've started our very first businesses. I don't know if they've been around since 2013. And even now in 2021, I still follow their journey, and they have been just launching so many programs. I think we are really starting to see employees either pitching to become contractors. You know, there's a lot of benefits for companies. There's tax benefits and just financial monetary benefits of having a contractor, which I think too can be an easier baby step for someone who is considering going freelance or starting their own business without feeling like you're just, you know, jumping into the Wild West, so to speak. So I love that idea. I also think that, you know, you really like took this whole position or idea of finding your first client into your own hands. You know, when you're sharing this story, you weren't waiting for someone to fall into your email inbox or to just, you know, pick up the phone and call you and like beg you to be your client. At this stage, you didn't even have a website. You know, there was no way for someone to find you and contact you to be your own client. So I think that is also a very underestimated quality and value to have in this position. If you're listening and you want to find your first client, it is all about going out there and being proactive. We talk about this all the time. No one is just gonna like fall into your lap and pay you an invoice, you know? And I love that you also, of course, took a professional approach. You gave them a presentation. And I think at the end of the day, that is ultimately what a client wants. You know, they have a position that they need to fill. They want a certain, you know, service executed or value. And if you can really position yourself in that space, then it kind of becomes a little bit less relevant that you are working remotely. And again, like I know we've reiterated this multiple times, but this is 2013, you guys. Like, that is mind-blowing. And we see people in today's landscape, we've obviously seen the change to remote work since 2020 and since COVID. And that was, you know, way before. So the fact that you were able to land your first client in that, you know, space, I think also really goes to show just how much more it has progressed and how much more opportunities there are now even than there was before. So I want to share too about how I landed my first client since we're on the topic. And there is some similarities too, which is what I love. But I actually landed my first client on a freelancing platform called People Per Hour.
I've also used People Per Hour as well. It actually, I think, has become a little bit less popular nowadays. So you may not know about this one, but back in 2013, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not that old. Like, why am I talking like this? But like back in 2013, People Per Hour was a little bit newer, a little bit fresher. There was less competition, and they had like, it was just a really easy way. Basically, clients posted jobs, you applied right on the platform. All of the actual transactions happened on the platform too. So when you're just starting out, like Cassie and I didn't have to have like invoicing systems set up or like, how do I collect payments? How do I take clients globally? So that's what I really love about getting started on a freelancing platform is that they just really take a lot of sort of the business management side, even some of the client client workflow side into like their own system, which really helps you as a newbie just not really have to worry about that stuff in the beginning. Mm-hmm. You're able to go on and find clients that are actually looking to hire. You can have a profile, people reach out to you. So I really just have, it's like a really great place when you're just starting out to find people on freelancing sites. Mm-hmm. And so PeoplePower back in the day was like the one that I loved. I've always recommend that one. And then there's lots now that actually have like been combined into each other. So I know there are ones like Upwork and Odesk. They've done a lot of really great work, very user-friendly, similar exact same concept as what I described with People Per Hour.
When you're thinking about finding your first client, it's like, okay, what is the gold mine of people or clients who are looking to hire freelancers, or, you know, who are looking to find small business owners who can help them in their business? Enter freelancing sites. You're still needing to be proactive, but it is a hub of people around the world who are already looking for clients. So that is like one step, even a step further than if you were going out and trying to do like colder emails or cold networking. So I think, just like you said, I think it's a fantastic place to start out. So I was managing the social media accounts for a UK-based hair and beauty product company. I actually graduated with a degree in marketing, and I had previous jobs in marketing as well. So that's where my expertise came from. And it's so funny how we both were social media managers in the early days. And I think a lot of people don't even know that about us because we have pivoted and changed services so much, which we'll talk about later. But this, my first client was so fun. I loved researching and curating content for this company. Again, it was in the hair and beauty product world, which is something I love personally. And in terms of the business side, it was monthly ongoing work, which meant that I could have consistent income coming in. And I had them on what's called a monthly retainer contract. So essentially that means that they paid me a set amount of money at the beginning of the month to provide them with the social media management services that I was doing. The other thing about this story, talking about freelancing platforms, but even aside from that, is that your client base is global. So if you're telling me that you can't find one person on this planet to be your first client, I am gonna be a little bit skeptical. So like, you really need to have that approach, recognizing that there are so many clients out there. There is so much opportunity out there. And once you find your first client, it becomes so much easier to find your second and your third. I also feel like if you can find a client in an industry that you're passionate about, that's a really great place to start finding clients. You know, take the things that are hobbies or industries that are interesting to you, whether it's wellness or fitness, or the sky is the limit, really. It's going to be so much more enjoyable, obviously, to find, you know, work that you are passionate about and that brings you joy, which is what we're all about. But it's also going to bring so much more value to your clients because you have more insights and obviously a passion for their niche. This episode is brought to you by the Bucket List Bombshells Academy. 8 years ago, I left my uninspiring 9-to-5 job and booked a one-way ticket to Mexico in pursuit of my own freedom-filled life. That led me to starting my own online graphic design studio where I had the freedom to work from anywhere, design my own schedule, and do work that I loved. All of a sudden, work became a source of excitement. And most importantly, I felt inspired to open up my laptop each day. The Bucket List Bombshells Academy is our comprehensive curriculum of online courses where we'll teach you the step-by-step of learning in-demand online skills and building your very own online business. Plus, you'll have support from us and our expert community igniters to guide you and answer your questions every step of the way. You don't have to have a business idea or even any idea of what you want to do next in your career. If you know you're ready to make a change and pursue your own freedom-filled life, we're here to help you take that next step. Join us in the Bucket List Bombshells Academy or learn more by visiting bucketlistbombshells.com/academy. Speaking of people per hour and yeah. networking, let's get into how you found your second client, because I know it's a fairly similar process, but you were doing some other different kind of work, which led to mm-hmm. other things as well. So if you want to kind of get into that.
Yeah, I do. And again, like, I'm such an advocate of starting out on freelancing platforms that I just wanted to also say I had so many clients from the UK, Spain, Canada, the US, Australia, New Zealand, I think. So when you're just starting out, like, I just loved what Cass had touched on. You know, there's a global audience. When you're looking for a job, that traditional job, you're usually, your radius is probably the city that you're living in. And what I love about working online is that your radius is the entire world. And I just think that's such an important thing, and the freelancing sites give you that opportunity to find these people and get in front of these people as well. So that leads me into my second client. So I decided to start using people per hour as well. You know, I had that first client that was my client that I had been working with. But again, they were not full time. I wasn't full time working with them prior to having them be my first client. At the time, it was more about freelancing, less about growing, you know, a business or having a business plan. But I wanted to bring in more clients. And people per hour, we discovered it, was just so eye opening to me. And I got on there and I landed a client. She was in the coaching industry. And she was amazing, fantastic. She was from the States, and this is my first like international client, but she was absolutely amazing. And I did social media work as well. Obviously, that's the background I did have, but I also started doing some virtual assistant work for her. So I started setting up what's called online webinars. There's different platforms that you host these online, and you need basically a tech VA to be able to set up all of the systems and processes so that my client could host her webinar on there and people could attend her webinar, all completely online, virtually. And so if you're wondering, did you have this experience? Did you know how to set up an online webinar? Did you even know what an online webinar was before you landed this client? And the answer to all of those questions is no, I didn't. And just stay with me here, but you know, I had social media management experience. You know, from my last story, I'm a like go-getter. Nothing's really going to hold me back. I just really trust myself that I can learn something if there are resources out there to learn from. And so YouTube was my best friend back in the day. That was before online courses were a thing. That was before even companies like Skillshare or Skillcrush were a thing. And basically what I did was I had started working on social media for her, and she talked about how she needed webinars set up and some other virtual assistant work set up. And so I told her that I could do this for her. I just said, yes, I can do that. Let me set that up for you. And so I went and taught myself how to basically set up from start to finish an online webinar. And I just went after it because why not? You know, I'm in this like kind of experimental phase of I'm a freelancer. This client was fantastic. I did social media. I was so curious about what other type of online work I could be doing. It's not like I was setting out to specialize in social media. That wasn't even a thought that crossed my mind. So I went into that with just a really open mind and a really eagerness to learn. And I use the word confidence, but I don't know if it was necessarily confidence and just more like an attitude of, yep, I'm gonna just figure that out. Like, yes, did I feel like I knew what I was doing? No. Did I feel like I was an imposter? Probably. But it was just like, I was just so ready to find more work online. Another like takeaway that I want to provide you with from this story. But after I wrapped up my first project with her, you know, I did do some more ongoing work and that was fantastic. But what really kind of snowballed and from this, you know, this was only my second client, was that she provided me referrals. So basically, this was the foundation of how I continued to receive more and more clients. So it really only needs to take one or two clients to get your foot in the door before, you know, you're really actually bringing more clients that you never even knew was possible. And so what I loved about working with her, she was so open, so like generous and so wanting to help me succeed, which I'd never also seen. And so you don't really have that dynamic usually in a 9-to-5 with a boss, but she was just so appreciative of the work that I have done. And she ended up giving me referrals. And eventually I niched into working with online coaches because of this connection and this amazing client experience that I had. I realized that I just really gravitated towards the type of services coaches were offering. And going back to Cassie's point, I was starting to become very passionate about working with these types of clients. And I was so grateful because the client that I was working with had given me these referrals and sort of opened that networking door for me.
I think too, even just simply asking for a referral from your first client is something in the early newbie days of being a freelancer or business owner that someone who does feel that imposter syndrome or is feeling fearful, you know, we hold ourselves back from asking simply for a referral. And so I love that you shared that your client was just so excited and wanted to help support you and your budding business and help you find other clients. And that's exactly the ideal process that you want to have. Once you find your quote unquote ideal client or target audience, that's what you want to do, is ask them for other people that they know that are in their circle or in their industry that they can connect you with. And I do think that simply asking for the referral is something that I want to make sure for those of you that are listening out there, maybe you already have landed your first client and you're thinking, where's my second client and when are they going to come in? You should really make sure that you're utilizing your current clients, even just one client, as a reference point for a referral, especially if it's someone that you've really enjoyed working with. The second thing that I absolutely love is that you were so open to branching into a learning a different type of service. And I think that having that attitude is essential in the online business or freelancing, or like, let's just be honest, career world. Like, we've all seen that the online industry is changing and evolving rapidly. And so if you are excited about learning something new, it could be anything, you know, from learning webinars to social media management to website design to coding. Like, it is never too late to learn something new. And even better, in your situation, you got paid to learn. And I think that there are also clients out there who are willing to trust you and to allow you to expand in your services as well, especially if you've built a trust relationship. And so I think that's something that, you know, we get asked sometimes from our students. And I think to come from a place of authenticity, you can still share, no, I have actually not set this up before, but it's actually something I've been really interested in learning. I would love to take this on for you. You know, that kind of approach with your current clients can go a really long way. And we do this often in our own business with our own team members. We're super open and willing to give our own team members the opportunity to learn and take on a new area of ownership, because not only do we trust them, we know that they're incredibly smart and fully capable of expanding beyond their current skill set to add even more value to the business. So if you're in the early stages of your business and you have a client with a different need or a different service that you might not have a ton of experience with yet, but you've been wanting to learn, go for it. It's a perfect opportunity to be able to get your feet wet in that area and learn a new skill. Now, that brings me to my second client, who was, you know, speaking of networking, a referral from my own network. I had a family friend who referred me to someone that they knew, and she is a wedding photographer. She hired me way back in the day to do social media management for her on a monthly basis, just like my first client.
But this led to me learning more about her business and what her needs and goals were. And for her business, which is one of the things I just love about developing a strong client relationship, she shared with me that she was really wanting to get more press features on her photography work. She was doing the most beautiful wedding photography, and she wanted to figure out how to get featured on a national or even global scale. And so she asked me about it because it was obviously not her area of expertise. And she was so busy actually shooting weddings, and she was fully booked with her wedding photography business. She didn't have the time to take on this area of her business that she saw was a huge area of opportunity. So she turned to me. And just like your situation, Shay, I also decided that with my experience in marketing, I could help her find press and get her featured in magazines. So I told her that I would love to help her with this area. And it started this new learning process for me. You know, when you have the attitude of being open to new opportunities, doors naturally start to open up for you. So I found this amazing program that is still around today. It's called Two Bright Lights, and it's specifically for photographers who want to get featured in major magazines. So I went through the tutorials from Two Bright Lights, and I started setting up the program and implementing her photos, crafting her marketing messaging around the different wedding shoots that she had done. And lo and behold, it led her to being featured in some major wedding magazines and websites all around the world. If you're familiar with the wedding industry, these were publications like The Knot, Style Me Pretty, Pop Sugar, Bridal Guide magazines. And as you can imagine, she was just over the moon. And not only was she absolutely loving what I was doing, but I was loving what I was doing too.
Yeah, I think that at the end of the day, once someone finds someone they enjoy working with, I think they want to continue working with you. And so if you're able to bring those things up, if you're able to see more needs that you can fill, more things that can serve them in their business, and showing them that, and they already know who you are, they've already enjoyed working with you. People don't want to go out and look for multiple people to do like multiple different things, especially if they're a smaller business as well. I saw, at least in the first few years of really growing my business and working with clients who ended up being with me for two or more years, I think, into my business, and I just continued to add on services because that, at the end of the day, people want to work with people that they like, mm-hmm. that they know, that they trust, mm-hmm. that does good work, that provides value, also cares about their business as well. And I think that it's just such an important thing to remember. Even when you land your first client, that doesn't mean that's, you know, one and done. It doesn't mean that A, that they can't be your client ongoing or in different areas, or you start to build a long-term relationship with them, or B, that they aren't going to open doors for you. So even after actually these two clients, specifically the coaching client, even after we were no longer working together, would continue to send me referrals. Like, I could not even believe that the first time I got one after a couple months of no longer working with her, I got a referral and I was mind blown. I was shocked. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. It just creates that ripple effect. So I think that a lot of people are like, even before they find their first client, thinking about how am I going to buy my second client, my third client, my fourth client. And I really think just getting out there and finding your first couple clients is actually what's going to build your confidence, but also open more doors for you, whether that's with them or with other people, or you find like these freelancing platforms. You're just like, once you start taking action, that first step, that first client, you know, this ethereal thing, this like intangible thing, once it becomes real, that there is so much behind that first client to come, and just having that trust and that faith in yourself, I think is really important. Hard to do, but just important.
I think too, it's such a testament to providing value and quality and just like strong client relationship. Like, that's what it's rooted in. And if you are, you know, there and you're showing up for your clients and willing to help them with what they need, that is also a huge mm-hmm. aspect in why people continue to refer you. I love the point you made about people want to work with people that they want to work with or people that they like. But also, even if they are no longer working with you, if you just provided exceptional service to this person, they are going to go out of their way to help you. I mean, just think about the companies that you like and that you share with other people. You know, just because sometimes you have an amazing client experience, maybe you're out shopping one day or you need help with something, or you pick up the phone and you need to call customer service and you're kind of expecting that it's not going to be a very pleasant experience maybe sometimes. And when you are pleasantly surprised or when someone goes above and beyond for you, that is where your referrals start to come into. Yeah. And so I definitely want to make sure that, you know, even though this is your first client and you're just starting out, focusing on providing above and beyond services to this person, you know, go out of your way to help them and serve them in their business. If you can, do more than you technically need to. And for small businesses, I think having someone else support your business and also feel like they're standing there right beside you, that they're also going to help bring this business up or lead this business just as much to care as much mm-hmm. as they do, I think that's a huge value too. And yeah. that's really where yeah. referrals come from. So yeah. make sure that you're providing that value to your clients as well. Those of you that are familiar with more of our story, you'll know that our businesses evolved quite a lot from here. Both of us shifted and pivoted in our services over time away from social media management as we found what we were really passionate about doing and, like Shay had mentioned too, what type of clients we really wanted to serve. But I do think that it's important to point out we didn't put that pressure on our first clients. You know, our first clients was really to get the ball rolling, get some income in our bank account, and just get our feet wet, figure out, experiment. What did we like doing? What did clients even need? And so I think it's important to remember, if you're putting pressure on yourself or on your very first clients to be the target audience, the niche you want to work with forever in your business, you know, the dream ideal client, you know, that typically comes from actually doing it and working with your first clients and realizing what you like. And for a lot of our students too, a big question is, how do you know what you're passionate about? And mm-hmm. the answer ends up being really simple. The more you experiment and try new things, the more you find things that you like. And I think that is, you know, something that as we get older, we don't allow ourselves the freedom and the space to do as much, especially if it's something that we didn't grow up doing, we didn't go to university or school for, it's something that we didn't do in our past job. And we hold ourselves back from figuring out what we're passionate about because we're not willing to kind of put on that child, you know, mindset again and just be open to learning, experimenting, trying new things and seeing what you like. So now back to you and finding your first client. I know right now if you're listening, you might still feel fearful of the idea of reaching out to your first potential client. Hopefully a little bit less as you've heard our stories, but I get it. You know, putting yourself out there, especially if you're more introverted, can feel just like a scary thing. But I think instead of waiting until you feel ready, that's something we hear all the time, I don't feel ready, or waiting until you feel fearless, the more that you take action, you're going to fear less. I love this little like play on words. The more that we started going out there and finding our second client, our third, our fourth, by the time you're on your 10th client call, you don't feel like you're working up the courage anymore to pitch yourself and pitch your services. It like that is where confidence comes from. And we've talked about this countless times before too, just within our business, but there is a difference from having courage and having confidence. And in the beginning, a lot of what you were talking about earlier when you were saying, you know, you're not sure if it was confidence or not, it is very much courage. And we've talked about this a lot. Like, you only have confidence when you've done something before. That's where confidence comes from. You're like, I've done this, I've nailed this. When you're stepping into a new arena and you've never done something before and you're like, I'm just gonna wait until I feel confident, like that's not the mentality to have. What you need instead is courage. And the more that you have courage and you do that a second time and a third time, this, I don't know, ball of courage, so to speak, if you have like a visual, like a snowball effect, one day you literally get on a client call or you send out an email and you recognize that you feel confident in this area. And so I think remembering that we all start on day one. This was very much a day one conversation, taking it way back to 2013 and our first clients. But we have people who reach out on Instagram and via email and, you know, imposter syndrome, comparison, all of that kind of becomes tied up in so much fear. And you forget that these people that you look up to, if you're listening to this podcast as well, like we started on our day one just like you are, just in a different time frame perhaps, but we all start on day one with our first client email pitch, our first crack at networking, our first referral. So I really want you to just take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, get your day one pants on, grab your latte or whatever it is that you want to drink, and get to networking and finding and landing your first client. They are so much closer than you think. The Freedom Filled Life podcast is brought to you by the Bucket List Bombshells. It's hosted by me, Cassie Torresillas, and my co-host, Shay Brown. If you love today's episode, we'd be so grateful if you left us a review. Reviews help us spread the word about the Freedom Filled Life podcast, and they're a key part of sharing the show with other women who believe they're made for more. Until next week, keep on pursuing your own Freedom Filled Life.